and to worship and exalt our God, we come in vain. I'd like to go to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that they may, thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." My thoughts and mind is this morning is upon doctrine. And many times we have heard say that, well, doctrine is really not that important, that it really doesn't make any difference what you believe, where you worship, just so you're there. Well, the Apostle Paul, I think he has a different idea about that. He felt it was very important. In fact, he mentions it about seven times in 1 Timothy. He mentions it four times in 2 Timothy. He mentions it to Titus four times. And not only that, it is mentioned throughout the Scriptures in the New Testament pertaining to doctrine and what we teach and believe to be the truth. And as I begin to think upon the doctrines that we believe, so many times we think of predestination and election, the calling of God, the perseverance of the saints. Our depravity is our basic doctrine. And indeed, we do believe that, but that's not where it stops. There's so much more to it than that. The doctrines that we believe is the doctrines of Christ. In fact, I think the Apostle John wrote in 2 John that we needed to abide in the doctrines of Christ. And indeed, we do. And when we begin to examine Christ's life and His perfect example, we can soon see how far we fall short in walking in the steps that He did. So, as we take a look at some doctrine, and I don't know where my mind is going to go with this. I want to be mindful of the time. But as we begin to think of the doctrine, I want to say, first of all, there is a lot of false doctrine. The Apostle Paul told Timothy here in the fourth chapter, the first verse, that the Spirit speaketh expressly, "In the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." The devil has a doctrine. The devil has ministers. So we as God's people need to be fully mindful of putting on the whole armor of God, that we might not fall to these things. He mentions over in Ephesians that there would be some he made the statement that that we should come into the faith and so on, that we might not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It's very important that we maintain the doctrine that we have, and I want to say that if we fail in any point in the simplicity that Christ has given us in the church, that we cease to be the church. And so it's so very important that we do maintain the doctrines that we have, the teachings that we have. And the Apostle Paul, as he tells Timothy, he says, we need, and I realize that he's speaking to a preacher, but I want to say this, that we need to take heed to what he says, even in those letters to the ministers. Because you see, we as ministers are really nothing special. The only fact difference is we have been called or felt called of God to preach the Word of God. But as far as being what we are, we're no different than anybody else. We still have the same flesh and body that you do. The same sins plague us as they do everybody else. So it's imperative that God's people, not only His ministers, but His people take heed unto the doctrines that are set forth. And He tells Timothy to meditate upon these things and to give thyself wholly unto them. And indeed, we need to do that. We need to keep our minds and our thoughts centered toward Christ and not the things of this world. When you go to the book of Matthew, and we look at chapters 5, 6, and 7, and it's so many times called a Sermon on the Mount, that sixth chapter deals with so many things pertaining to putting God first. Maybe you don't see it quite that way, but I do. We find as he begins that, he tells them how they should, when they give alms, that they're not to give it as an appearance for men to see, but to give it to your Father in secret. He goes on and he talks about prayer is to be done the same way, and fasting the same way. It's to be unto God. He talks about how that we worry sometimes about how we're to be fed and clothed and have drink. He says, of these things the Gentiles also they worry about. And I'm just putting this, paraphrasing it in my way of talk. these things. You know, every time I read that, I think about a little poem I heard Brother Thomas read one time about Mr. and Mrs. Thing. I don't know if he's read it to you all, and I don't remember the exact wording of it, but I remember the message in it. These things. How much time do we spend worrying about things out here in the world? How much time do we spend worrying about the things that really have no place in our lives? He goes on and he tells them that we are to put God first. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, these things will be added unto you. The God of heaven, as he clothes the flowers, as he gives the birds their food, you see, we are much more worth than that. He will take care of his people. And I firmly believe that. I think David said that he was young and now he was old, yet he had never seen the Lord's people forsaken or his children begging bread. You see, we're to put God first in all things. And I agree, in this day and time, it's very difficult at times. There's things that seem to plague our minds and just are bothersome to us. But you see, that's why we need to meditate wholly upon the doctrines of Christ. When we examine his life and follow his footsteps and do what he has said to do, those things won't matter so much anymore. You know, we're to seek you first the kingdom of God, he says. The Apostle Paul writes in other places that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You know, when you think about that, what do we do when we get up in the mornings? How do we what are we doing to transform our minds toward God? Do we turn on the TV or the radio, or do we go to God in prayer? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ set forth the examples. Look how many times he prayed. And here was God in the flesh, praying to the Father. The doctrines of Christ are his examples, are what he taught us to do and how we are to live. And he tells Timothy, he says to take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. But he says, take heed to thyself. Our problem is too many times we take heed to somebody else. We don't look at ourselves. We don't examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. And, that's what we should do. We need to take heed to thyself. And it's the same way with God's ministers. Sometimes we have problems among us simply because the ministers aren't taking heed unto the flock which the Holy Ghost have made them overseer of. You see, my main responsibility lies in Ronsford, West Virginia right now, not here in Roanoke. It doesn't mean I didn't pray for you, but my main responsibility is there right now. You see, I need to take heed to myself, and we all need to take heed to ourselves and to the doctrine. And I want to say, each of us has the responsibility to hold the banner up of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his sovereign grace that he has bestowed upon lost sinners. And the very precious truths that we hold so dear. We need to hold those things up for others to see. You remember, even over in the book of Matthew, in the fifth chapter, he says that we are to let our light so shine that others may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. You see, we are to let our light shine, not to get glory for ourselves, but it might give glory unto God. Again, putting God first. The doctrines, the teachings. And I want to say that the Apostle Paul, he talks about those that have sound doctrine. And I want to say I'm thankful that there are still people that have sound doctrine. And I believe them to go under the name of Primitive Baptist. And what we believe and what we teach about God as far as being sovereign in all things, but only not only that, but our faith and our practice. How we come to worship God in simplicity. How we come to, when we come to this place, it is to worship God, is not for a show. We come here and our minds and thoughts can be centered upon godly things and not the carnal things that are in the world, because we do not have the carnal things that are in the church, in most churches in here. And I want to say that's the way it should always be. And most of those things were never part of God's service to begin with for many, many centuries. That's something that man brought into the church. And I will say we do not need it. We don't need that to worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, sometimes, and I want to say it's good to assemble. But you know, we don't have to assemble here to worship God. We don't have to be in a church or a, I hate to use that word in a sense, because so many people get the idea that the church is this building. I want to say it's the people that make up this church, the assembly. But so many times people have the idea that the place is what is important. You remember the woman at the well that Jesus spoke to? She felt that the setting of worship had to do with the place. The Lord Jesus Christ said that he desired those to come and worship him in spirit and in truth. It wasn't where the place was, it's where their heart is. And that's where our hearts need to be, in the doctrine, in the teachings. There's several scriptures that Paul teaches. And he, first of all, he tells Timothy over in 2 Timothy. He says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. He says that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But the very first thing he mentions, it's profitable unto doctrine. You say, well, what about the New Testament? They didn't have this then. Well, I want to say the New Testament writings are scripture, just the same as the Old Testament. And if you want to go to 2 Peter, the very last chapter, you'll find exactly that Peter himself believe that the New Testament writings, the letters of Paul, were scripture. If you want to go there, 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll start with verse 15. He says, "An account that the long-suffering of our God is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do the other scriptures." Now, if that has any, if you have any doubts about New Testament writings being scripture, I think Peter puts it very plain that they are scripture. The writings, the letters, his epistles. I want to say that they were inspired of God just the same as Old Testament writings. But he says, these things, all scripture. And I realize in that day and time that Timothy didn't have, the New Testament hadn't been written. But they have been written for our admonition in this day and time. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction and instruction. It's so important that God's people read the Word of God. You remember what He says, give attendance until I come. He says to reading and doctrine. He says give attendance to that. And if I have a message for God's people today, it is that we need to be more diligent in studying the Word of God. You see, because if we don't, it'd be very easy to get out and have doctrines of the world, to believe doctrines of the world. And I see a lot of people, I work with people that are professed Christians, and I want to say one thing. Most of the time what I see them read is writings of and I'm not saying it's all bad. It's religious writings of other orders. I mean, that's all they read. And you never see them with a Bible in their hand, hardly at all. And if we're going to read anything, we need to read the Word of God. You see, there's so many ideas floating around out there, and if you you can lift a verse out of context and preach anything you want to preach. You can teach anything you want to teach by lifting scriptures out of context, by using one scripture, part of it. If you want to teach something, you can very well do it. If you don't put in what's behind it and what's in front of it, you lose the meaning. And that's why the way so many things are written in this day and time, we don't need to read the books of men. We need to read the book that God wrote, so that we might maintain sound doctrine, so that we might walk in the way that promotes sound doctrine, that others may see and glorify our Father in heaven. You see, it's not just a matter of trying to live right. We need to live right. You know, it's so easy to make excuses about things. It's so easy to just say, well, I just can't do that because I'm a sinner. You see, we have the mind of Christ according to the Scripture. That doesn't mean we have a mind like God, but we have a nature about us that God has given us that we can walk in a spiritual way, that we can walk not in the ways of the world. And I want to say that God doesn't want to hear our excuses. Am I saying that we can lose our salvation eternally? No, we can't. We can't do that. But his apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, to continue in those things, he says, continue in them, for doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There's a saving in this day and time. We won't get entangled in the things of this world. We won't get entangled. We won't get things entangled in our church that others have. And I'm not up here casting stones. But I want to say again that if we are not preaching sound doctrine, that we cease to be a church. It's so important that we continue in these things, that we do these things. And, you know, when you go back to Matthew and read that, what is called a Sermon on the Mount, it says at the very end of that, that those people were astonished at his doctrine. They couldn't believe it. They just were astonished. That is not what they were used to. And many today, when you talk to them, they're going to be astonished at the doctrine of Christ, the true doctrine. And I want to say again, that we shouldn't let that discourage us. You see, they didn't believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should so many people believe us? But there are those that indeed do believe. You know, sometimes we get the picture. If we don't visit much, or most of the time, our main responsibilities are our home church. But we look around and we just see a small group of people. And we get the idea that this is just it. I want to say this is not it. There are thousands of people that believe the truth of the living God. There are thousands of people that practice the same very things that we do, that walk the same way that we do, and have the same doctrine that we do. You know, the Lord has reserved His people. You remember the prophet Elijah? He got downcast and he was just ready to give up. He wanted to die. He says, "Lord, they've all forsaken You." Remember what the Lord said? He says, "I've reserved unto Myself 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee to Baal." I want to say our people haven't bowed the knee to Baal. We continue in the doctrine and the truth of the living God. And you know, the Pharisees, they gave Christ such a hard time. And the things that they taught were of men. I want to go to the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I won't be here much longer. But over there, first of all, the Lord asked them, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your traditions?" I want to say so many things that we see in other orders are traditions of men. But He goes on, and this is the point I want to get to. He says, "Ye hypocrites, did Isaiah prophesy unto you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto Me with their mouth, and honoreth Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. But in vain they do worship Me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men." You see, if we don't stand in sound doctrine, if we don't stand where we're supposed to stand, our worship to God is in vain. If we bring in things that are the teachings and commandments of men, again, we cease to be the true church. Now, I'm not saying, and I don't want people to get the idea, if you cease to be the church, that you're going to die and go to hell. We are saved by grace. We are saved by grace. And nothing short of that. There's nothing added to it or nothing taken away from it. But again, as Paul told Timothy, there's a time salvation in keeping the true doctrines. There's salvation in living the right way, in practicing our faith in the proper way. And to see, it all comes back to giving glory to God. That's our purpose for being here. When we come today, it's to worship God. Not worship man or anybody else, but to worship God. When we walk through this life and we try to hold up the banner of Christ, it's to praise and honor God. And our very doctrines that we teach should do the very same thing. They should honor God. They shouldn't honor man. They shouldn't give man any credit for anything, because we deserve nothing. And anything we receive less than the barbecue pits of hell is God's grace and mercy. And when we get, there's several things to my mind, and as you know, when we begin to examine what we've been saved from, we should want to continue in the true doctrine. We should want to continue to come and worship here. We should want to come and again be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's so many in the world, and sometimes I even feel this same way, that we are drawing nigh unto God with our mouths and honoring Him with our lips, but our heart is far from Him, simply because we've allowed things of the world to come into our heart. You see, that's not staying and abiding in the doctrine of Christ. We need to be on our knees constantly, begging God to keep the freedom that we have here, to come and to worship Him. And so many times we take it for advantage and not come to the house of God. When there have been people put to death in ways that I wouldn't even want to describe because they were Christians. And I want to say they were our people. We have a great privilege here to come and to worship God. We have a great privilege to walk in the doctrines that He has set forth. And may it be that our hearts are continually that way. May it be that we, as we come to this place and go about our daily lives, that we will strive to maintain ourselves in sound doctrine. I appreciate your kind attention. May God bless you.